Hello everyone and welcome to the CMO Stories podcast, episode 20. And we are already in season 2, isn't that amazing? So really excited, season 2 is all about Web3. And today, yeah, I'm really happy to be joined by Nikki. Nikki, how are you?
Yuri, I'm fantastic, brother. Great to be here. Thanks for having me on the show.
Yeah, Nikki, I'm happy to have you because, you know, I'm interested in all this great stuff that you are doing. Also, you're diving into Web3. So that's really interesting. But first, for our listeners, Nikki, let me introduce you. So guys, if you don't know Nikki, Nikki Bilou is international best-selling author and highly inspirational speaker. He's the co-founder of eCircle Academy, where he runs a year-long mastermind and educational program. He's the creator of the Thought Leader, Heart Leader, I think it is, TM designation. And also he's the host of the Thought Leader Revolution podcast. And Nikki has interviewed almost, I think, or even more than 300 top thought leaders from around the world. So that's impressive, Nikki. I think you did more stuff, but your intro was so long. I just need to make it a bit short for our listeners. If they want to find out more of you, I'm sure they will find everywhere information about you. So I know you are building an NFT project or an NFT with a major US brand, and you would love to talk about that. So how do you look at the current Web3 space?
Well, right now, brother, I mean, with what happened with that crypto exchange, FTX, the president, Sam Bankman-Fried, and it was a big scandal. I'm almost embarrassed to tell people that I've got something going in the space because it's so many people are saying, oh my God, this is the end of the world of NFTs and crypto and blockchain. Forget it. But the truth of the matter is it's not, because the world of blockchain and NFTs and Web3 is here to stay. You know, it's back in the day when the internet first came, there was a lot of people who said, oh, websites, they're not going to be a thing. Right, selling online, it's a scam. Well, Amazon, Apple, these sorts of companies today are the biggest companies on the planet. And I believe the same will be the case when it comes to NFTs and the Web3 space. I believe that, you know, the blockchain cryptocurrency space is going to be the biggest marketplace in the world over the next 10 years. And I believe it will create the biggest dislocation of wealth in human history. You'll have an opportunity to create true wealth for yourself. And the people that get involved today that are not scared, you know, of all the market dislocation and learn about how to pick the right companies, these are the people that are going to make a lot of money, you know, and the people that are scared and going, no, forget it. In 10 years, they're going to come say, okay, I guess maybe I should get involved in NFTs. Maybe I should get involved in a blockchain company. But by then, most of the wealth is going to have been made.
Right, exactly. And now the risks are high. But if you do your research and you just learn, and then you will be among the first to, you know, it's always better to be first or just to try, you know, and to learn from trying and just do it step by step. But how did you get into Web3? How did that happen?
Well, I had a fellow who was mentoring me on how to buy crypto. He's much younger than I am. He's half my age. But he's been in the space since 2014. And he was just advising me on advising and things like that. And then he said, hey, we should do some sort of NFT. And I knew a brand in the US and we started to work with them. Now, the NFT is not out yet, so under non-disclosure, I can't name the company. I can tell you this, it's an interesting brand. And it's a niche brand, but in their world, they're a very well-known brand. They're a fantastically well-known brand. And, you know, unfortunately, as I said, everything that's happened in the last few months has not been great for making a lot of forward progress. But what we're going to do is we're going to just keep working on it. We're going to produce what we need to produce. We're working with some artists right now to do the artwork. And when all of that's complete, the next thing we're going to do is we're going to sit down and figure out what's going to be the right time to launch this. Because, you know, launching in a bear market is not a great idea right now, right? I don't want to put this out there right now because I don't think there's going to be any level of interest. But this bear market's not going to be here forever. All we have to do is be patient. And over time, things are going to move. Things are going to change. That's the bottom line. That's what I believe. NFTs have value. There's people that are buying them, and they're buying them because they believe this is a way to create and collect certain collectibles. I think NFTs make a lot of sense for collectibles, you know, artwork, sports memorabilia, things like that. I think that's a fantastic way to create NFTs and to have the NFTs work for you.
Yeah, artwork on the one side is important because you have like collectors, as you say. But when I'm looking at NFTs, I'm looking at the utilities that you have with an NFT. So even if the NFT goes to zero on the market, you know, but you still have utilities, so services or whatever, things that are linked to the NFT. So I think that's important. Is it also something that with your projects that you are looking at, not only the artwork, but the utilities linked to that?
Well, I think the entire space, everything has to have some level of utility, some level of use concept, right? If you don't have that, it's not going to work out so good for you in the long run, you know?
Yeah.
Things without a use case are the things that are going to broaden. Now, when I was 25 years ago, somebody was putting together a website for birdwatchers, and they were trying to raise $10 million for it. And they approached me to see if I wanted to be one of the early investors in it. And I'm like, Listen, man, you know, birdwatching is cool and all, but how do you make money from this? And they couldn't answer the question. I go, well, I'm out. I'm not going to invest in this. You know,
Hopefully we get
somebody who's going to invest. And that's the case right now. This is like the early days of internet and e-commerce. That's all that's going on. And there's ups and downs in the marketplace. And everybody should just understand, take a deep breath. This is going nowhere. The market's going to be around. You know, maybe now's not the time to launch your project, but be patient, wait, and there will be a time where your project can be launched. It's that simple. You know what I'm trying to say to you, brother?
Yeah, indeed. But actually, now is a bear market, so we should not stress to launch a project. So you can see that on a positive side that we have more time to prepare everything. So when it's ready, that you have the timing right. We talked about the utilities and the artwork, but what I think also is important why people buy NFTs is because of the community that they get into, the access to people. And some of these NFTs are really expensive. Look at, for instance, the VFriends. Okay, you also have some utilities, but you can go to VCon. If not, you cannot enter that conference. So that's a community that you can enter, access to an event that you can enter. I see there also a lot of possibilities for utilities, don't you think?
Absolutely. 100%, brother. 100%. The only thing that you must be super, super careful for as far as you're concerned is don't let fear knock you on your ass, because fear will have you feel like, oh my God, I can't do this. You know what I mean? I can't do this. It's not going to work. And that's not true. It is going to work. 100% it's going to work. It's only going to work if you believe. You have to believe. Because the reason that this was created, that reason has not gone away. You know what I'm trying to say, brother?
Yeah, it's, you know, for everything in life, you know, you just need to go for it and start from the principle, that it will work out, not looking at everything that can go wrong, but what if everything works out? I know, and exactly. I read it somewhere that you said that a lot of people are living in their comfort zone, and they stay in their comfort zone. But what do you tell to those people that are in their comfort zone? How can you help them to get out of their comfort zone? Any tips or advice for those people?
Well, to be successful in life, you need to have four qualities. And these are the qualities that will get you out of your comfort zone. The first one is decisiveness. You need to make decisions and be decisive. The word decide in English, the root of it is a Latin word, side, which is about killing things off. Kill off the alternative. You have to make a decision that you are going to be in this space and you are going to learn it and you're going to be successful in it. That's number one. Second thing is you have to commit. You can't be like, I'm going to give this a try, like kicking a tire of a car when you're looking to maybe look at it instead of buy it. No, You got to commit. You got to be willing to be bad before you're good at what you do. Third is you have to be coachable. You need mentors and coaches, and you need to take their coaching. Fourth is you have to be resourceful. It costs money, time, and energy to be successful. You have to be resourceful enough to come up with the money, to create the energy, and to create the time to make it happen for yourself. So you got to be decisive, committed, coachable, and resourceful. If you are these four things, you're going to win. You're going to win big. If you are not these four things, you're not going to win. So I can tell you a story if we have time for one.
Yeah, go ahead.
So, you know, the best-selling personal development book of all time is called Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill. You familiar with this, Yuri?
Yeah, I've read it a couple of times.
Yeah, so there you go. So Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill. Now, what you may not know is that Napoleon Hill used to be a journalist when he was young. He was a newspaperman. And his boss sent him to go interview the richest man in the world at that time, Andrew Carnegie. So he went to interview Andrew Carnegie, and the two of them, they hit it off. They got along. So Andrew Carnegie said, "Mr. Hill, how would you like to spend the weekend at my estate?" And Yuri, I don't know about you, but if the richest man in the world today asked me if I wanted to spend the weekend at his estate, the answer is yes. You know,
yeah,
it would be an incredible experience to spend time with that individual, right? So, of course, he said yes. They spent time together. They talked about a lot of things, about life and success. And then Andrew Carnegie said, "Mr. Hill, I have a proposition for you. How would you like to spend the next 20 years researching and writing about my philosophy of success and putting it in the form of a book? And I will pay you no stipend. But what I will do is give you letters of introduction to the 500 most successful men and women in the United States." Napoleon Hill took 31 seconds to make up his mind, and he said yes, and the rest is history. He went on, he did the research, and he wrote the book, and he became this world-famous individual. But what you don't know is that 20 years later, he met with Andrew Carnegie one last time before the great man died. And, you know, Andrew Carnegie, during their conversation, said, "Mr. Hill, I need you to know that I had a watch with a second hand under the table when we were speaking, and I was looking at it. And if you had taken more than 60 seconds to make up your mind, I was going to withdraw the offer." And he's like, "Oh my God, why would you do that?" He said, "Well, you've been studying my philosophy of success. Why indeed would I do that?" He's like, "Oh my God, okay, I got it. Successful people are decisive people." He said, "That's right. What I had done before I met you is I had made the same offer to four of the most eminent educators in these United States. They all said, 'I'll get back to you. I'll think about it.' Two of them got back to me and said no. Two of them never got back to me. And I knew they were the wrong people. Successful people are decisive people. They make up their mind quickly. They get the facts and they decide. You need to be that way with what you are into. No hemming, no hawing, no ah. Gather the facts and then decide. That's the way it is."
Yeah, that's a wonderful story. I like that. Decide, you know, it's also speed if you decide. And I think now in the world that we are, I think people that are in Web3 are people that are deciding because they are seeing things happening and they take action. So it's deciding, I would say, Nikki, but also taking action, because sometimes there are so many things around you. And if you don't take action, it won't work. So I think that's one of the things I learned too. And another thing that's really important, and I'm sure you can say something about it, is building your personal brand. I see that you do a lot of stuff and you are because people find you, you're there. I think to have success, it's important also to work on your personal brand. Can you give some advice or some tips about that?
Well, your personal brand really is about thought leadership, right? So an expert is someone who knows something, while a thought leader is someone who's known for knowing something. Experts are a dime a dozen. Thought leaders are rare and valuable. You don't want to be an expert. You want to be a thought leader. An expert is like a cover band. A thought leader plays original music. So to be a thought leader, you need to have strong messaging about who you are and what you do. And it can't be about you. It's got to be about how you help people. Nobody likes hearing from you, "We're the biggest, we're the best, we've been in business the longest." Their eyes glaze over and they go, "Oh my God, forget this guy." But if you talk about how you help people, so in my main business, I work with entrepreneurs. And what I say when someone asks me, "Yuri, if you said, Nikki, what do you do?" I'd say, "Yuri, it's very simple. I help business owners add 1 to 2 zeros to their income. That's what I do. 1 to 2 zeros to your income." Now, if you're a business owner, would you like to have 1 to 2 zeros to your income?
Yeah, who wouldn't? But then, of course, they look at you.
Who wouldn't?
Is this guy?
Exactly. Yeah. Now, if I said that to you, aren't you going to at least be curious to go, "Well, how do you do that?"
It will be actually, if I never heard about you, it will be like, who is this guy then? And is he just making up something? Or if I already know stuff about you, then I say, okay, yeah, he has written a book. He has a mastermind. He has this. Okay, this guy, I need to listen to him if he says something like that. So it's a combination
of
things.
It'll make you curious to find out more. Agreed?
Exactly. Yeah.
Now, if you ask me what I do, Yuhi, and instead I said, I'm a coach. I'm the biggest. I'm the best. I've been around the longest. You're going to go, who the fuck is this guy? You know what I mean? who is this guy? Like, you're going to go, his ego's too big. Forget him. That's the important thing of thought leadership. It's not about you. It's about them. Take the attention and the messaging off of you. Put it on them. All of your messaging should be about who you help, not about you. Right? Now, listen, you're creating a resume, you have to talk about yourself. I get it. If you're pitching a podcast like I pitch your show, you got to talk about yourself. I get it. But really, really, when you talk to people, when you're out there, you need to talk about the people you help, how you help them, why they're better off because of your help. That's what matters. That's the bottom line of thought leadership. Also, you need to value yourself. Most people undercharge. They undercharge, Yuri. They don't charge enough for their services. I had a client. His name was Christopher. Good guy, lives in Manhattan. He had a acupuncture clinic, a studio. Great guy, great business. But he wanted to make more money. Manhattan's an expensive place. You know what I mean? $150,000 a year. It's a lot of money, but not in Manhattan. He wanted to make $1 million. I look at his business. Everything about his business was great. He had a good message. He knew how he helped people. He knew who he helped, but he charged so little. And his clients were big people, big names like Robert De Niro, people like that, right? And I told him, you don't charge enough. We got to charge more. He goes, okay. How much more? I said 20 times what you're charging now. And he's like, that's not gonna work. I'm like, dude, calm down, relax. 20 times. He goes, no, I can't do it. I can't do it. Finally, I convinced him to charge 7 times more. Yuri, in 4 months, he made $1.2 million. In 4 months, because he raised his prices, he brought in more clients. His high-end clients go, look, come to see my acupuncturist. He's the best in Manhattan. That's what these folks did. You follow what I'm saying?
Yeah, I think it's a good message to end this podcast with, that people need to value themselves more. So, Nikki, if people want to know more about you, because you are doing a lot of interesting stuff, where do you want to send people? How can they find you?
Well, there's a couple places, brother. One is to my main website, which is called ecircleacademy.com. So that's ecircleacademy.com. There's a lot of free resources there. If they want to, have a business conversation with me, they can go to that website as well.
Is there something else, Nikki, that you wanted to share? You said there are a couple of things.
My friend, the last thing I want to say to you is it's Christmas time, and I want to wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year, and believe next year is going to be better, because it will be better if you believe and you have good people around you. Don't do things alone. That's another thing you got to remember in life. When you try to go do things alone, your ability to succeed goes down. When you do things with people and smart people and good mentors, good peers, your ability to succeed rises exponentially. So find people who understand how to succeed today, not 2 years ago, not 3 years ago, but today. And with those people helping you, you will succeed.
Right. Yeah, that's also a powerful message. And that's something I've been putting into practice this year, actually. I'm in a mastermind with people that are like me, where I can learn from that. And I'm in another community with marketers. So yeah, that's really helpful to have the right people around you that you can talk to, like, for instance, for this Web3 stuff. So thanks, Nikki. It was a pleasure to have you. Guys, if you are now listening to this episode and you think, this guy, Nikki, it's really interesting what he has to say, check out the show notes. If you like this episode and you think this can really be useful for people around me, colleagues, family, other entrepreneurs that you know. Be sure to share this episode with them. Be sure to subscribe to the CMO Stories podcast if you haven't already. And of course, yes, I would like to see you back for the next podcast episode. Bye. Take care. Hey, if you missed anything, we took all the notes for you on web3.net. The link is also in the podcast description. And also be sure to check out our NFTs on cmo-stories.uncut.fm. And of course, if you like to be connected with me on social media, you can find me on Twitter or on Instagram or on LinkedIn. Just find me with my username, Yuri Belast. And of course, I hope to see you back for the next podcast episode. Take care.